This is Cross Currents on Aspen Public Radio. I'm Carolyn Heldman. Coming up next, Dr. Joshua Gordon. He's speaking in Aspen July 25th at the 3rd Annual Aspen Brain Lab at the Aspen Institute's Pepke Auditorium. Dr. Gordon is speaking on behalf of the Hope for Depression Research Foundation Task Force. A psychiatrist and neuroscientist at Columbia University, Dr. Gordon will be speaking on Hope for Depression, exploring brain circuits for novel treatments.
The Aspen Brain Lab is an organization that creates this, it's a symposium every year on different topics. This year, there's going to be three sections, a section on the creative brain, and a section on the impaired brain, in which I'm speaking, and a section on the healthy brain. And they bring in a number of experts on topics ranging from, you know, creativity, obviously, to various neuropsychiatric diseases, to how to keep one's brain healthy. And each of us is giving about a 20-minute talk. There'll be opportunities for questions, et cetera.
And your particular expertise is neurophysiology?
Yeah, so I study psychiatric disease. In particular, I study the patterns of neural activity that occur in the brain of patients and models of psychiatric disease.
So do you outfit a patient who has said, okay, I'm going to participate, with some kind of monitor and they go about their day, or does it all take place in the lab?
Well, most of the work that I do is in the lab, but there are people who are certainly outfitted with things that go on during the day. So, for example, someone I work with, Helen Mayberg, who is an expert on the treatment of depression using deep brain stimulation, their patients are outfitted with a device that delivers electrical stimulation deep into the brain chronically, but you can also record from that device and look at patterns of brain activity while the patient actually does go about their daily lives. And you can compare at the beginning of treatment, right after implantation of the device, when most patients are still depressed, and then later when they're not as depressed. And those kinds of studies are really at the beginning. We don't have answers from them yet, but they're quite promising in terms of really being able to go beyond, some broad statements about what's going on in the brain, but really be quite specific about what's going on in specific places.
This is Cross Currents on Aspen Public Radio. I'm speaking with Dr. Joshua Gordon, psychiatrist and neuroscientist at Columbia University and the New York State Psychiatric Institute and New York Presbyterian Hospital. He's speaking at the Aspen Brain Lab on behalf of the Depression Task Force of the Hope for Depression Research Foundation. What's out there that you're excited about?
Well, what I'm really excited about is that we can learn so much from our colleagues who study basic neuroscience because of an explosion in tools that can be used in models to look at the effects of, say, stimulating a particular brain region, or to look at the kinds of patterns of stimulation that we might use and what effect that might have on behavior. And that's one thing. There's been an explosion of basic technology to be able to manipulate and monitor brain activity. And then there's also an increasing ability to translate that information from the basic neuroscience to clinical populations with the use of things like TMS, deep brain stimulation, and other methodologies. So there's the hope that really in the next 5 or 10 years we're going to learn so much more about these processes that we'll be able to be much more specific with our interventions, that we'll be able to not just throw a drug at the entire brain, but target a treatment, whether it be a drug or a stimulation or a psychotherapy, at particular neural circuits. And that neural circuit revolution is really, I think, what's exciting and promising about the future of psychiatry.
Is depression on the increase, or are we just hearing about it more often?
That's a really good question. I think it's that we're hearing about it more often. Mm. It's always been incredibly prevalent. 1 in 10 teenagers ages 13 to 18 is going to have depression. 1 in 11 people has depression at some point in their lifetime. It's incredibly common. It's probably always been incredibly common. The percentages, you know, in terms of the population haven't really changed, at least in the last 30 or 40 years since we've been measuring them, you know, in the same way. So I don't think it's on the rise. In contrast, there are other illnesses like TBI that are on the rise. But it's been unrecognized how burdensome depression is. The cost in the U.S. is $70 billion a year, the economic impact on business from depression.
Is that because of lost work? Or I don't understand the economic impact.
So a lot of it is lost work. So I think about $12 billion or so of the $70 is lost work. And then that's just to businesses, you know, in terms of people calling in sick. But in addition to that, you have, of course, the cost of treating patients, including the medications that they take, hospitalizations, et cetera. And then you have the economic impact, not just of lost work days, but of people who are actually taken out of the workforce because of disability. Worldwide, depression is the second leading cause of disability. And unlike heart disease or other diseases that tend to strike people when they're older, depression strikes young, and it doesn't go away. So if you're disabled because of depression, you could be disabled starting in your 20s or 30s and be disabled for much of your adult work life. So that's part of the reason why it's so costly.
Can one be cured of depression or just treated?
That's a really good question. I think for some lucky individuals, they can be treated and the depression won't recur. But for most people who have an episode of depression, they can be treated, and many of them, not most, but many of them, will go back to being more or less normal. But even when they're normal, they have a very high likelihood of having another episode of depression, so that about half of all people who have had an episode of depression in the past, about half of them will have another episode of depression in the next 3 to 5 years. And about 75% of them will have a second episode of depression in the next 10 years. So even if you're successfully treated, the likelihood is that this is a disease that recurs. I think on the hopeful side, number one, we do have successful treatments, both medications and psychotherapies, that do work. And so we can reduce the impact of the disease in individuals when they do seek treatment. And the second thing is for those who are not helped by our current therapies, which unfortunately there's a lot of people who are not helped by our current therapies, we can hope that there are new treatments around the corner, and that's one of the reasons why I do what I do.
Dr. Joshua Gordon, psychiatrist and neuroscientist at Columbia University and the New York State Psychiatric Institute and New York Presbyterian Hospital, on behalf of the Hope for Depression Research Foundation Task Force, speaking at Aspen Brain Lab, July 25th, 3rd Annual Aspen Brain Lab at the Aspen Institute's Pepke Auditorium. Dr. Gordon, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you so much.
This is Cross Currents on Aspen Public Radio. If you missed the show or would like to hear it again, go to our website, aspenpublicradio.org. Have a great afternoon.